Sermon podcasts come to you from Christ Church Cathedral in the Anglican Diocese of Fredericton in Fredericton, New Brunswick, Canada. This is a version of a sermon delivered by the Dean of Fredericton, Jeffrey Hall. On the fourth Sunday of Easter, May 11th, 2025, entitled Jesus and the Father Are One. Listen to podcasts by visiting the Watch and Listen tab on our website at ChristChurchCathedral.com. Search Christ Church Cathedral Fredericton Podcasts on the web, or find us listed on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube Music, TuneIn Radio, or Podchaser Podcasts. Subscribe using your favorite podcatcher. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else. The Father and I are one. Someone who prefers the matter of fact, the black and the white, the upfront and obvious, must struggle with the Gospel of John. The author of the Gospel of John speaks regularly in ambiguities and uncertainties, using double meanings and layered references to communicate good news. It's been said that reading the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke it's almost possible to taste the dust along the roadside. There, Jesus is fully engaged with the physicality of the world. He rubs elbows with the marginalized, eats with the outcasts, spends most of his time in Galilee. He's sometimes difficult to figure out, but for the most part, he's believably a human person. And in year C, we read primarily from the Gospel of Luke, but during Easter, we find ourselves in the Gospel of John on Sundays. Today marks a shift from hearing about Jesus after his resurrection to once again listening to his teaching before his passion and crucifixion. And so, you know, the Gospel of John is different. It's as if in John's world, Jesus has intruded like an extraterrestrial visitor on the everyday world and made it full of the divine. Or maybe it's that the divine was always there, but he made it possible to see it. In John, almost nobody knows who Jesus really is. His encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well is about the only time he admits to his messiahship. His identity is like a puzzle that the author of the gospel helps us put together, placing the clues yet leaving the building of it and the conclusions to the reader. Some have described the world of the Gospel of John as enchanted. In the Gospel of John, there is mystery at every turn. Multiple layers of meaning, something going on behind the scenes. And we soon learn, reading John, to expect surprises. The themes that we encounter there are far more numerous to identify
that we could identify in a 10-minute talk about a snippet of text. But one of those is that in John, there always seems to be a backdrop of festival. Much of what John has to tell us happens in the context of the celebrations of Jesus' Jewish ancestry. His first miracle is at a wedding party. The day Jesus healed on the Sabbath, he had gone up to Jerusalem for a, quote, festival of the Jews. Chapter 7 has Jesus visiting Jerusalem unannounced. John says, secretly, for the autumn festival of booths. And we remember the triumphal entry to the holy city on what we refer to as Palm Sunday. There, for the spring festival of Passover. So much of the John text has the backdrop of the festivals of the religious calendar. But perhaps even more important is that in that backdrop is the temple at Jerusalem. The temple, the focus of religious observance in Jesus' day, is central in the Gospel of John. And I find myself asking, why might that be? What's so significant about the temple in the message of the Gospel of John? Early on, you'll remember, Jesus clears the temple. He heals a man and later meets him in the temple. He's often found teaching in the temple, according to John. And today, you guessed it, he's walking in the temple courts during the festival of dedication, Hanukkah. And it was winter, John tells us. The festival of dedication was a messianic observance in which Israel remembered its oppression by its pagan overlords and prayed for deliverance by God's anointed, who would one day, someday, come and push out the pagans and restore Israel to its rightful place among the nations. So what might John be telling us? Jesus' teaching about the Good Shepherd happens in the context of the temple and of the Feast of Dedication. The Jews, a better translation there, we're told, is maybe some Jewish authorities say to Jesus, if you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Give us the black and white. Don't beat around the bush. Just tell us. How long will you keep us in suspense? And scholars debate about whether that word translated suspense actually means one of two things that it could be in the original language. One is, how long will you annoy us or vex us? And the other one has a little more positive slant. How long will you keep the secret? One suggests hopeful inquiry, the other accusation from an opponent. And it could be either one of those, and scholars can't agree which it is. So maybe that word suspense is in the middle somewhere. Maybe that's why it's chosen in the translation that we read. But maybe John is trying to tell us this, that Jesus is the new temple. that Jesus is the fresh, God-given way that humanity is to be with God and God is to be with humanity. Because, you know, that's a thought introduced in John's prologue way back in chapter 1. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of as a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. That Jesus was fulfilling the new role of mediation between God and humanity. Jesus as Messiah. But interestingly enough, not acting like the Messiah that Israel didn't know they shouldn't expect. Not acting like the Messiah that Israel didn't know they shouldn't expect. How's that for John-like language? And here's a fun fact. The sentence, I and the Father are one, in chapter 10, what we read today, is at the exact middle of the Gospel of John. And I wonder if that may have been calculated. Is it possible that John means to draw attention to his most important point, that this Jesus is God, that he and the Father are one? In any case, this much is clear. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. The image of shepherd wasn't one Jesus or John needed to invent. The shepherd was familiar, visible in the workforce of society, but also an image embedded in the Hebrew prophetic tradition. The shepherd metaphor conveyed both leadership and compassionate care. Sheep can count on the shepherd. And once grasped, no one can snatch them out of the shepherd's care. And the prophets of old had spoken of the shepherd as a foreshadowing of the Messiah. So there's an undercurrent message running just below the surface in John, I think, that's also detectable here, even if it's not screaming in our face. We've become so comfortable with the notion that everything is ultimately under our control. We often miss that message. I fear the church has even taught this particular perspective too often. So in a way, it's not really our fault. We have been encouraged to make Jesus our shepherd. What we've overlooked is that actually, it's Jesus who makes us his sheep. It's not so much that we choose him, it's that he chooses us. The church has taught us, just take that step, brothers and sisters, make that decision, call Jesus Lord, and then see how your life will turn around. And then we get caught up in the complicated guilt about not being the effective evangelists God would have us be. We somehow believe that it's all about our effort and our good choices, our ingenious technique, our superior intelligence and understanding, or by doing just the right thing at just the right time, that we can make this dying church live. That religion is something we do. And obviously, if it's not going that great, we're not doing that good of a job. Now, while we are charged to tell others about what we have seen, we are to treat others as we would have them treat us. We are to serve others and share what we have. It's not all up to us to save this operation we call church. The Good Shepherd first chooses us to be sheep. It's not just about our choosing to call him shepherd. So the question might be, do you feel chosen? Because you're here. And you are. And that's an understanding with deep roots in the Judeo-Christian tradition, too. The classic psalm for Good Shepherd Sunday is the 23rd. And we hear repeatedly, who does the choosing? And that point is mostly missed, I think. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He revives my soul. He guides me. You, O Lord, spread a table before me. You have anointed my head. And the result of all that, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And Jesus is that house. Jesus is the new temple. It has far more to do with him and far less to do with us. Faith does not save us. Religion doesn't save us, and religion isn't something we decide to do. We don't win the prize when we provide the right answer, do the right thing, or invent the perfect plan. Jesus saves. He and the Father are one. Jesus is our salvation, the mediator between God and humanity. The Good Shepherd calls his sheep, and somehow his sheep know his voice.
Christ Church Cathedral is located at the corner of Church and Brunswick Streets in Fredericton, New Brunswick. We're always pleased to welcome visitors and guests. For information on programs and worship times, visit ChristChurchCathedral.com. Send us a message by email at office@ChristChurchCathedral.com or contact the church office by phone Monday to Friday, 9 to 12 noon at 506-450-8500. We'd be pleased to have you visit.